Well, we're going to look at a couple of different verses, but one of them is going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, what is this? It's a horn. Nope, that's not a blowhorn. Bullhorn, okay. All right, can you get this stuff off of me so I can...
Wait a minute.
I don't need those ears, really.
How did you do that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's through that.
You said go through it.
Well, I didn't know you were going to take it off.
Okay.
Hey. I love...
All right, what do you do with this? You put powder in it for your black powder. Now, this would be powder measure. All right, this measure is an 80-grain powder measure. It will throw 80 grains if you fill it up right to that little thing right there. If you use it in your shotgun, it'll throw about an ounce and an eighth of birdshot. And then 80 grains of powder behind your black powder shotgun, or in a rifle it throw a black powder. This holds your black powder. Now you got to be careful if you ever use one of these. I've actually heard of people blowing themselves up. If you forget to put that back in and your flintlock goes off, it throws a fire all over the place. Hits the top of that thing and blows yourself up. So you got to put that back in. Only problem is, this looks really good. By the way, I've customized mine. I have my name on it. I have John 3:16 and Romans 5:8, and I got a compass on there, and I got a thing that says, "No king but Jesus." That would have been something from the Revolutionary War. This is my custom one. The only thing is, there's nothing in it. It looks really good. It looks like it's got a job that it can do, and it's even personalized on the outside. Same with this. I know exactly how many grains of powder that'll hold and throw if you do it the right way. Yet, if I ain't got no powder, they just look good from the outside, but they're useless. Guys, let's start reading for a minute, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Beginning in verse 1. Man, I hear all those pages turning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, I've heard that all my life, and I knew about what it meant. But a few years ago, I had an opportunity to go to Israel, and our guide over in Israel was a Christian American that now lives over there. And he shared with us that unless you were in the culture, you couldn't appreciate the full meaning of what it meant. But, you know, Paul would have understood, or he would have at least known what it was all about, because it was going to an amphitheater. Now, they didn't have movie theaters like we got today. You can go to movie theaters and have 10, 12, 15 different theaters and all these different seats, and you can watch a movie and all that stuff, and it's fun to do, and you have to take out a loan to get popcorn, but anyhow, that's a different story. But it's fun to kind of go through this. Well, they had entertainment in those days, and they would go to an amphitheater. Now, Jesus would have never went to an amphitheater, nor would his disciples. Because they were born in Jerusalem, in the area. All right? But many of the Jews that had been kind of almost Hellenistic, in a sense, they'd been influenced by outside culture, the Greeks and the Romans, might just sneak into one. You know, it used to be against the law for Christians to go to movies. Did you know that? Mixed bathing? My wife's granny would have never been caught somewhere with a guy swimming at the same time. Just wouldn't happen. Things have changed over the years, hadn't it? Not always for the best, but they have changed nonetheless. And so they would go to an amphitheater. The reason why Jesus and others wouldn't have been caught there is because most of the plays were done to Greek gods. they had some very awesome ingenuity for not having electronics. They had ways that they had built those things where they could talk each other across the stage and the audience wouldn't hear them. They had ways to fill up the inside of the stadium with water and then drain it off again after the next scene without electronics. However, when they were making sound effects without having electronics, it was a little harder. Now, if you wanted an actor to sound like a god, you've heard of Moses and the Ten Commandments. God had a god voice. To make it sound like that, to influence it, they would have a big brass jar. Someone would talk over the brass jar, and the echo through the brass jar would make it sound bigger. When they were doing lightning, you couldn't just say, oh, please, Lord, would you give us a lightning bolt tonight? So they had to make up something to make it sound like thunder and lightning, so they would have brass or bronze that they could make sound like that. There'd be sound effects, just like we got in the movies today. But just like that person playing that Greek god trying to sound big, it was just a sound. It wasn't the reality. And just like that thing they used to make it sound like thunder and lightning, it wasn't really thunder and lightning. It was just a lot of sound. The Bible said that a person that calls himself a Christian without love is just that empty. Whew. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, just in case you think actions speak louder than words, let's go on a little bit farther. And though I have the gift of prophecy and knowledge of all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith that I could remove mountains, I have not love, he said, as though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. He talks about all the good things that we could do or all the good spiritual gifts we could have. What if we could sit out there and just recite all the verses in Scripture? Wouldn't that be awesome? One time I went to a study on the doctrine of Christ. I think his name was Frank Staggs that was teaching it. He was teaching out of the Greek New Testament just like you and I read the English Bible. He knew it that well. And yet I'm questioned whether he actually knew Christ when I listened to some of the things that he said. Guys, it doesn't matter how many spiritual gifts you got. It doesn't matter if you gave all your goods away. It doesn't matter if you even gave your life for the cause. If you don't have love in your hearts, godly love, it doesn't mean a thing. It's empty. Just like having this, it looks real good, but if it ain't got no powder in it, it won't get you nowhere. It won't do what it's intended to do. We've got to have love in our lives. In fact, we've been doing a series on one another. I was going to really kind of save that one to last because that's kind of the motivating factor for the one another thing. But since this is Valentine's, I thought it'd be a great time to bring in that aspect of it. If you would turn your Bibles to John 13, John 13, Gospel of John. Just have to back up just a smidgen. You ever wondered how much a smidgen was? Don't you love it when somebody tells you, you got to put a smidgen in that mix, and you go, what's a smidgen? Just a pinch. Okay. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. All right, the Bible tells us that you and I are to love one another. Well, now I'm going to ask you the question, what does it mean to love someone?
Well, you care about them.
All right, care about them, that's good. But that doesn't cover it. That's only a portion of it. All right, somebody else. Respect them, okay? That's good too, but it's only a portion of it. Whew. Lay your life down for. Well, actually, that's what Jesus just said. Love them like I love you. What is Jesus fixing to do? He's about to lay his life down for them. In fact, he said, no greater love than someone lay his life down for another. All right? So it's sacrificing, it's caring, it's respecting. What else?
Devotion.
All right, it's devoted, absolutely. Do what? Unconditional, yes, yes. What else?
Forgiveness.
It definitely carries with it forgiveness. Come on. Put their needs before your own. There's another one of the biggies that's really tough. Give your life for someone. Put their needs ahead of your needs. Ooh, that's getting pretty serious. What else? Come on. It's biggin'. Guys, when you love somebody with God's kind of love, you look out for the very best in their lives. Not just what they want, not what they consider the best for their lives, but what's truly best for their lives. That's God's kind of love, amen? It is sacrificing, it is giving, it is forgiving, it is merciful. Let me ask you, how many of you have that kind of love? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, we're in trouble, aren't we? Man, we're in a lot of trouble. Man, that's a big definition. Actually, you know, I have just a whole big thing on it right here as you go down, all the different things that you just talked about. Godly kind of love is not like normal love that we see in the world today, where most people love because or what they get out of it. It's not that kind of love. Love has been corrupted, in fact, by sin. Actually, the Greek gives us, according to Dr. James Gills, I don't know if you've ever read his book, he is an ophthalmologist that is a Christian, and he's wrote a lot of books, and he's written one on love, and he said, and now when I was in Bible college, we only studied three different kinds of love in Greek, but he said there's five different words in the Greek. Now, I'm not going to look up all those words, okay? We're going to look at the three that we normally will see in the Scriptures a lot. The first one would be phileo. We get our word for a city, Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love. It has to do with that affection we have for someone. Brother in Christ, relative, kind of more on the outward type of love that we would have, affection for each other. The Bible talks about that. There's another word called eros. We get the word in English, erotic. You're going, oh, Brother Terry. They have that stuff down at the Gentleman's Club. By the way, I wonder how they ever got Gentleman's Club out of that. I don't know how they figured that one out, but that's... Guys, eros is not always a bad word. It can be a bad word, but used in the context of marriage, it is that sexual love, that physical love. And that is a gift from God when it's done the right way, His way. Okay? It is being corrupted again, just like all things have. But when we come to that special kind of love the Scripture talks about, is agape love. And that's the love that God has for us. That's the love that looked down before we were even created or made and loved us even before we were born or was here. And it loved us even after we were born and we were in opposition of God. Do you know that when He was on the cross, He had you on His mind? And guys, I'm not really good in math, but I can at least average it out. That's been at least 2,000 years ago. That was way before I was born. Brother, what happened to your eye? You forgot to say Happy Valentine's Day this morning, didn't you? I was thinking of that a while ago. That was just thought. See what happens, guys. You can get in trouble. I love you, brother. Whoa. Glad I remember, huh? I'd hate to preach this morning, huh? We are to love, you know, and it's not just, when we think of love, it's not just to a brother and sister in Christ. You know, when Jesus started explaining love, it was serious. I don't know if you've ever read it and put it all together, but when he began to talk about all the different things that go with love. Now, let me look it up first so I'll make sure we don't miss it. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those. Now, by the way, this is agape love, okay? Just in case you think, well, maybe he was just talking about that brotherly kind of love kind of stuff. No, this is agape love. You look it up in the Greek, you'll find this is under agape love. This is the godly kind of love. You love your enemies. You bless those who curse you. You do good to those who hate you. You pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, wait a minute. I didn't sign on for that, did you? I like the forgiveness that you get through Jesus Christ. I like the fact that you're going to heaven when these bodies break down. But you mean I got to get along with everybody? Not just the ones that get along with me, but I have to get along with those who treat me terribly and bad? Those who would curse me? Wow. Guys, I got to tell you, even the things we mentioned a while ago were tough. This is even worse. Not just laying your life down for somebody who deserves laying your life down for, but he's talking about loving those who are not worth it. Now, by the way, he gets in greater detail in another book of the Bible, speaking of this same thing. Let's see. To him who strikes you on one cheek, give him the other. And from him who takes your cloak, give him your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. Wait a minute. That's hard. What about the neighbor that comes over and steals from you, and you know he's stealing from you? What about your kid stealing from you? Rick. What about the son that uses your tool and leaves it where he left it, where he was using it? There you go. Most of us would be in trouble, wouldn't we? How many times have we borrowed Dad's tools and left them right where we were messing around? I was thinking about it the other day. My dad's a saint. He put up with me. I wrecked his gas tank. I wrecked his topper on the back of his truck. I ran over a store-bought gate. He had to take me to the hospital because I ran over myself with a tractor. I was out in the woods barefooted and cut an artery. Yes. Well, that was a fun one. All those years, man, that had cost them a fortune just in medical bills. Not let alone the food I ate. My dad's a saint. I don't know if I'd have been that patient with me. Got to be honest with you. What you laughing at? Very first night, first date, Curtis calls him to go hog hunting, and Debbie gives him permission. That ain't the night you lost the end of your finger, was it? Just in case you think it's just them big, mean boars that'll treat you bad, that was a sow that got you, wasn't it, brother? They'll bite the end of your finger off just as fast. Sometimes love's hard, but you know the Bible tells us there's an example of how we should be. You know, we read these things, and it does seem kind of hard when we read these things until I look at the examples. Think about this one for a minute. He said, and this is the verse I just read a while ago, a new commandment I give you that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? You didn't have any sin in your life when he came for you, did he? Did you? You're worth it, aren't you? No, you're not. None of us are worth anything that God did for you and I. We're not. We're sinners. You know, we look at some people in prison, we look down on people, you know, committed all these murders and did all these things. Guys, I'm going to tell you, in God's eyes, sin's sin. We like to make one worse than the other. Oh, man, that's a terrible one. You know, sometimes we look at homosexuality and we go, oh, that's so bad. How about sex out of the context of marriage? Just as sinful. What about lying? Just as sinful. I know you ain't ever told a lie, right? Hello? Didn't fudge the truth a little bit? All those things, they're sin. You never said a bad word before, have you? Not today. Are you waiting till church is over? Now we know what Jeff does after church service. He's in the cab cussing. Guys, we are sinners. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want you to even know what I thought. Do you have some bad thoughts every once in a while? I'd never tell you what passes through this. Do you what, brother? Man, I wish I could tell you I don't have bad thoughts, but they... That person pulls out in traffic. I may not shoot a bird at him. But I'm wishing that tire would blow out. God bless their souls. Man, Christ loves us in spite of us. Here's the next one. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I can't think of a greater verse than John 3:16. And I know people try to take that, Calvinist and Reform try to take that and change it to something else. But guys, you can't change that verse around. That verse says, for God so loved the world. That's the good, bad, and the ugly. He loves us. I don't know why. We don't deserve any love. We don't deserve God even having any mercy in our lives or showing us any grace, and yet God does that. He loves us so much. And not only said it, you know, it's really easy to say, I love you. That happens all the time. Turn on a soap opera. How many times is the word love used in a soap opera? They're married and happy for 1 hour. The next soap opera time, they're getting a divorce and marrying somebody else. That's not what I'm talking about. The world uses that word very loosely. Where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his son. How many of you would give up one of your children for somebody? I got to be honest with you, there's not one person in this church that I'd give my daughter for. I love you a little bit. Did you catch that? Most of you'd be the same way. And yet, God gave his son, his perfect son. The son who'd always been in perfect fellowship and relationship. We don't know what that means because we don't know that, okay? He gave that perfect son for you and I who are sinners. sacrificed him. In fact, if you read in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. Huh? Because of what he was going to accomplish with his love. Just like Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What joy would that be? Knowing that someday you and I'd be saved. That's God's kind of love. And he wants us to have that. He showed us the example of what that is. Did you know that your love, your godly love, gives evidence that you're a believer? Every one of those verses I just said a while ago about loving your enemies and praying for those who talk bad about you, it coming to the end, it says, let me get it, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. By showing that kind of characteristics and that kind of love for people, you look like God. You look like one of His kids, one of His sons. The other passage the same way. You will be the sons of the Most High. I love this one. It's found in 1 John 4:12. He says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. That love that we show gives evidence that God lives within us. Listen to this one. I love this. Was by Christ. This is talking to his disciples. This is verse 35 and verse 34 we read a while ago. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, when we show that kind of godly love for one another, it shows the world that we've got it. You won't have to knock on their door trying to tell them you're a Christian. They come to church and begin to see that kind of love around you and you at work and see that kind of love in you. They begin to say, hey, he's different. She's different. What's different about them? Why have they got that kind of love? You see, it bears evidence that we're believers. Now, somebody might say, well, Brother Terry, what if I don't have that kind of love yet? What do I do about it? Have you found out that your love is not quite like what you'd like it to be? How do you get more of it?
Exercise.
All right, Raymond said exercise it. That's good. Do you know what else you can do? I love the passage that I found here. This is Paul talking to the Thessalonians. He said, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do for you. In other words, he said, God can increase that love in your hearts. I think that's a good thing to pray for, isn't it? God, help me to love people like you love them. Not like I'd love them, but like you would love them. Help me to be able to endure and get over and get through and love them the way that you would do it. No matter what kind of personality they got, help me to love them like you love them. By the way, the Bible said it's the Holy Spirit that brings that love and spreads it out in our lives. It's also called the fruit of the Spirit. Very first one mentioned is love. I think an important thing every day is to seek God and ask Him to manifest the fruits of the Spirit in your life every day. God, please manifest love in my life. Help me to show that same kind of love you have for me to others. Increase it more and more. I want them to see you and me every day. Guys, God can do that. A lot of times we forget how important it is to pray. You know, it's not just about lifting everybody up at sick. That's a part of our prayers. And that seems to be sometimes the major part of our prayers. Let me tell you, a good thing to do is spend time with God and God's Word and ask Him to improve you. Hello? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of room for improvement in my life. You can shake your head because you need it too, all right? Just telling you. I know there's a lot in my life, but yours too. There's a lot that we can improve on. And God wants to do that in our lives, but we got to realize it. Go to Him. Ask Him to manifest that in our lives, to be that person that we need to be. There's a really neat passage of Scripture that I really like. And I want us to turn there and look at it for just a minute. 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. That's kind of going to the back. Right after James, if that helps you. Just before 2 Peter. First Peter 4:8. You ready? Curtis, quit cheating. Curtis, the read man. And above all things. Well, that makes it sound like it's pretty important what he's about to say, doesn't it? Above all things, have fervent love. Okay, got the love part. What's fervent mean? Do what? Okay, deep. Intense. Woo! Like that. Let's see. What did I get on here? Strive for, work for, stretch, extend. You get a picture of that person that's running. You got somebody right beside you, nose to nose. You've got to win the race. He said, strive to have that kind of love. Now, I like the rest of it because it describes what kind of love it is. For love covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? It means love puts up with, endures, in spite of us. We get along and love each other. No matter what the personalities are, no matter how different we are, no matter how many times we disagree, the Bible said we're to strive to love each other, and that kind of love covers a multitude of sins. You don't keep count. You know, we got a bad habit of keeping count. Do you know how many times that brother has bucked me in business meeting? 14 and a half. The half he agreed with me, but I believe he was in opposition, really. Guys, I want to close with one thing. There's a portion in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Don't give up on somebody. Don't give up on a relationship that just seems really hard to deal with. Let me tell you, God can change your heart. You know, we have a lot of things that I've been involved with through the years with life-controlling problems. And one of the things that you have to learn about that is that you don't give up. And sometimes you want to. But God can change you. You know, we talk about in those things that you can't change somebody else and you can't. You know, we got a bad habit of wanting to change each other when we get married. Well, I know how he is, but I'll change him. Or I'll change her. Good luck with that. The Bible says I can't change somebody else, but I can change myself. Amen. And by me changing, it just might have an effect on that other person. Lord, help me to love them how they are and help change me. Guys, we need that kind of love, not just in church, but in our relationships, at work, wherever we're at. The Bible tells us we're to have that kind of godly love for all. And that's not easy. I got to tell you, this thing goes against everything the world teaches you. Everything the world teaches you. But I'm going to tell you, what God says He can do, He can do. Amen. And He can help you to have that kind of love. Man, I'm going to tell you, that would be a great church, wouldn't it? Be trying to outdo each other to minister to one another. That'd be awesome. No, let me do it. No, I want to do it. We'd be in line seeing who's going to clean the bathrooms first, right? I can see you need that love, brother. I caught your head shaking. You've not lived till you've pulled the toilet off and had to clean it underneath. It teaches you to be humble. But you know what? The Lord would do it for us. He wants us to have that kind of love for each other. Let's pray.